What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, channel 204 for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. We are amped up for this Friday show. We have a lot to get to, especially in terms of the NBA, Kev.
Oh, I'm over the moon. Oh, I really am. We get to preview all of these series. There's so much good stuff,
too.
So many good nuggets. I am. I could hardly sleep last night. I can't wait to do it.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Let's get to our 7-7 top headlines. Play-in tournament in the East happened last night with the Wizards clinching the number 8 seed in a dominant 142-115 win over the Pacers. Wizards cover the 3.5 over cashes. Now, the Wizards put up 48 points in that third quarter, finished the game 50% shooting from the three-point line and 58% from the floor in this matchup. Washington will now take on Philly in the first round.
The East play-in stinks. It was terrible. None of these games were good. The game, though, did fly over the number. Washington over Indiana is something that I think will increase our postseason enjoyment of that one versus the eight. The Sixers and how they match up is favorably, I would say. But look, Washington was definitely one of the hottest teams in the NBA over their final, you know, 20-some-odd games. So I'm excited to break that one down. And a credit to Washington, truly, for salvaging their season and landing themselves in the final eight.
Yeah, and that game flying over, which you mentioned yesterday, was most likely going to be the outcome. Also, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Steph Curry are MVP finalists. Now, Nikola Jokic finished 11th in scoring and 8th in assists as the overwhelming favorite at minus 7,000 to win this award. Steph Curry clinched the regular season scoring title, jumping Embiid at 27-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Embiid now sitting at 30-1.
At this point, I would think that it will land Jokic, Steph, Embiid. I think that's how the final order will turn out. But you will notice that you can still bet on this on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The votes are in. No, they're not going to give Steph extra credit for any of his play-in performances, nor should they. I think that Jokic ultimately will be the MVP this year. He will not be unanimous, though. I think Steph and Embiid will definitely be grabbing some votes.
Yeah, and last game of the play-in tournament is tonight between Memphis and Golden State. Both teams in a do-or-die situation with the winner taking on the number one seed in the West, the Utah Jazz. Warriors laying 5, that line continuing to move out. The total also continues to come up now at 221.5.
What I love so much is we saw this game Sunday, right? I mean, almost quite literally with the Grizzlies and the Warriors, but we know you're not just going to be able to snap your fingers and repeat the performances. Memphis is absolutely live in this game. They had to battle against San Antonio just like the Warriors did against the Lakers, but they can take some lessons away. They can keep some momentum, I think, about what Dylan Brooks was able to do in that game. I am very excited to break that one down, that final playoff spot up for grabs.
Yeah, we'll be breaking down a ton of NBA games today. Also, the PGA Championship is underway after day one. Corey Connors leads the field, finishing 5 under. One customer in PA placed a $200 wager on him to lead after round one. That customer will be paid out $10,200.
That's a bag. That's a bag right there. So kudos to that customer. Very excited.
Especially right
to
before the weekend. You cash that in on a Friday. Basically get that by Friday morning.
That's not bad. Drinks on that person for quite some time, in fact. Here's what I also wanted to add, though. The live leaderboard. Corey Connors, Victor Hovland, Brooks Koepka, the third choice on the live leaderboard. Talked about Brooksy with Cam Stewart earlier in the week. Perhaps here at a major, plays his best golf and presents great value because he entered maybe a little banged up. Very excited to watch him throughout the weekend.
And let's quickly welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204 for Kevin Walsham, Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. So let's take it to the ice. NHL playoffs last night. Montreal takes the series opener with a 2-1 win against Toronto. Now the Maple Leafs move from an opener of a series price minus 310 to minus 130 to win this after the loss.
Well, one of the other things coming out of this game was the injury to John Tavares, Toronto's captain. A scary situation. I would say it was an accidental hit on Tavares, though certainly his teammates took exception to the play. Hopefully he will be able to return to the ice for that team. I'm not sure if he will be, though, at least throughout this series, and that should have an impact on that series price as well, Aaron.
Yeah, that was a very scary play. I honestly could barely watch that on Twitter. Also in hockey, the Panthers scored 3 unanswered goals to win it in overtime to stun the Lightning and get back into the series. Tampa Bay scored 5 goals in the second period, but the Panthers were able to get that 6-5 win and cut the series lead to 2-1.
And, I mean, the difference between being down 2-1 and 3-0 is astronomical. Coming back from 3-0 happened maybe a little bit more often on the ice than perhaps, say, an NBA, an MLB, but it is still a daunting task and one that the Panthers have now avoided with that victory.
And our last headline here, the Giants sweep the Reds in a 4-game series with a 19-run outburst in yesterday's win. The Giants are set to take on the Dodgers next, with San Fran currently leading the NL West 1 game ahead of the Padres, 2 game ahead of the Dodgers in terms of record.
Look, the Giants have the best record in baseball. And each time you're like, well, that's going to stop. They keep winning. I heard someone say it every single day. The Giants wake up, they put their uniforms on, they expect to win. And that's been the case all season long. Now they test themselves against the Dodgers, who have been playing better baseball. I am very excited to talk about that series and watch that series play out.
Yes, of course. All right. During the show, guys, we're going to be talking all things NBA, breaking down some of the series, also giving you our weekend watch. So stay tuned with us this morning here on the Early Line.
Come on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to get into some play-in tournament recaps. So yesterday in the East, the Wizards clinched that number 8 seed in a dominant fashion, beating the Pacers 142-115. This wasn't even really a fun game to watch. The Wizards able to cover that 3.5 as favorites, the over, obviously cashing in this one as well. But Kev, the Wizards obviously being able to put up so many points against this team, 48 in the third quarter.
Yeah, you know, I was watching this one, and I talked about how interesting the total was, and ultimately, it not only gets over the number, it flies past the number, classic Wizards fashion. And I was like, is this game, like, is it slowing down? Are the Wizards just that efficient? Like, what are we even doing here? And ultimately, they shot nearly 60% from the field. A clean 50% on their 28 attempts from beyond the arc. Like, Washington was just getting whatever they wanted. They were making everything. If you look at it, like Indiana scoring 115, like this number could have stayed in check, but Washington just kept going and going and going and really getting whatever they wanted. Russ was wonderful in this game. Beal was clinical down the stretch. They got, you know, Gafford to come off of the bench and step up. And, you know, Rui Hachimura was good early in this game. It was just everybody played well, basically, for the Wizards. And, again, they hung a smooth 142 on the Pacers that were fighting for their lives.
Yeah, and a trend that we had mentioned yesterday was when these two teams faced each other, it was flying over the over the over. So we had that 13-point adjustment. So if you did take the over, obviously that worked out for you. But I wanted to kind of ask you, now that we saw the Wizards play at home and we had been talking about home court advantage and we felt that the Celtics had that at TD Garden, do you think that was really a factor last night, or do you think the Pacers just really were not able to match this Wizards team?
It's a good question. So up until this point, the home teams are unbeaten in the play-in. But against the number, things are a little tighter. Now, flip of the coin, ATS result with that Memphis-San Antonio game. Lakers don't get a cover on any number really posted in their matchup against Golden State. Perfect, though, straight up in ATS in those East play-in games. I think what you can say definitively, even if it's 3-2 ATS, which isn't as stark, they were feeding off of the crowd in Washington, right? You could tell that big time. And also just having home court in the playoffs is going to matter. We lost that last season. Everybody was on a neutral in the bubble. Having home court advantage, you'd rather have it than not have it, I think. Now, there are certain, you know, teams where they'll be able to overwhelm people. But if you believe a series is a coin flip, you might then lean whomever has home court advantage.
And then in terms of player props, we know when there's a blowout, a lot of them, we say, go to dive. So we know that Beal and Westbrook didn't hit their player points prop in the previous game. Then in this game, Beal hit under. I mean, it was set at 31.5, which seemed high compared to the first game, just in general, with knowing that his hamstring was still bothering him. Westbrook, 25.5 for his points prop. He didn't hit that or his assist. He was able to hit that rebounds one. But were there any other ones that kind of stood out to you, even if it was on the Pacers squad as well?
Well, I think just to piggyback off what you're saying is you saw in this game a lot of props get crushed. I think maybe Brogdon and Rui Hachimura. I'm not sure if anybody else really cashed their player props. They were able to get their work done early, but because of the blowout, you did not get the minutes that you would have expected. You know, Malcolm Brogdon only plays the 29. Bradley Beal only plays 28 minutes. Russ only logs 33 minutes. Again, with the season on the line, those guys would have been ready to go for 40 plus, no problem. And that's the difference between cashing tickets and losing bets when you're betting to the over. It's an unfortunate result. I think, though, it is something, especially now for the Wizards, as their players remain alive going into the Sixers series. If you believe you have an edge on some Russ numbers or Beal numbers, or even, you know, further down the board, Davis Bertans, don't get too low on that after this Pacers result, because this was a blowout. If you believe Washington can keep it competitive against the Sixers, then you can come back to those overs, because as you said, the blowouts, it cuts minutes in half, and it doesn't allow then people to get where they should be.
And Doug McDermott hitting his under, as well as DeMontis Sabonis in terms of points. Now we're going to send the Pacers home. I feel like, Kev, you've had them crossed off your list for a long time. So the Wizards are going to take on the Philadelphia 76ers. Super excited for the series, one as a Sixers fan, but just in general to see how they do against this Washington Wizards team. But really, I feel like they're going to struggle with the health of Beal throughout this series. We don't have series prices available just yet. We know the Sixers last night opened laying 6.5 in this matchup. But for me, it seems like the Wizards, they're just going to go out there and try to score as many points as possible. But we know that the Sixers are not bad at defense by any means.
No, they're a tremendous defensive unit. They also enter this series, and this is going to be a reoccurring theme when we talk about Sixers series, with a massive advantage in Joel Embiid. There are, I don't know, off the top of my head, four teams that maybe have a chance at defending Joel Embiid. The Wizards are certainly not on that list. They are certainly not on that list. And you have a situation in which Philly won the season series, a clean sweep, 3-0. Now, two of those games were very early season. One of them was the first game of each team's season. But even the most recent matchup in March saw the Sixers win 127-101, and Embiid left the game early. You're looking at a situation, I think, in which now Philly was going to get a favorable draw versus any of the eight seeds because they've been that good, and we're talking about eight seeds here, but this is one, Aaron, in which they should be comfortable. The Wizards are hot, no doubt about it, but this should be a matchup that Philly's able to handle, I believe, in four or five games.
That's what I was going to ask you about. How many games you think the Sixers would be able to get it done? Do you think if they go to Washington, that's when they could potentially lose some of those games just because of home court advantage?
Yeah, I don't think that for how much better Philly has been this year, going to Washington should be a daunting task. Also, we talked about it, but throughout the season, this has been a different Philly team than ones that we've seen in years prior. You know, last year's Philly group, no matter who they played, if you would have put them on the road, you'd be like, oh, this is gonna get ugly. This is going to get annoying. They stepped up when they needed to. They avoided those just like, oh, no, losses. They kind of transferred them over to Milwaukee in a way. Like, the Bucks kept having the, like, are you serious loss on their resume? But the Sixers avoided that for the most part. So we actually have, at least I do, more confidence in them, Aaron, going on the road during this postseason, and especially against a team like Washington.
And since we talked about how the Philadelphia 76ers are great defensively, do you think they'll be able to shut down Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook pretty easily, throwing, let's say, Ben Simmons on one of them?
I don't know if it's going to be easy. You know, Beal actually had a 60-burger against the Sixers this season. The interesting thing about Beal is just the health. Like, we all know it. He's not 100%. And having to go out there and work for your shot against a Pacers defense is far different than having to go out there and work for your shot against the Sixers defense, as, you know, you've mentioned here. I'll also make this point because it's been a while since we've talked Sixers games. The Sixers finished over their final 11 games as a favorite, 10-1 against the spread in the first quarter and the first half of those games. Keep that in mind. We saw Philly jump out to 20-point leads in two of the three games, double-digit leads in all three meetings against the Wizards. But they didn't cover a spread of 6.5 or 7 in two out of those three matchups. So I think what we saw from Philly, looking to play them early during this series, Aaron, could be the way to go.
Yeah, and also, like you mentioned, those first half trends were something that's kind of been going on this season and last season as well. But I'm really amped up, of course, for this. This will be happening Sunday, the first game of this series. Series price is not posted just yet on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but will be available in the coming hours. We'll see you right after the break, talking more NBA.
Coming at you all.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Now, the NBA playoffs are going to start this weekend. We're going to talk about some of the series that are in the East. But, of course, like I mentioned, again, these are starting this Saturday. So let's get right to it. We have the Heat versus the Bucks. So revenge, of course, is on the minds of the Bucks. Bucks are favored to win this. Now, we know last season they were shut down by Miami when they had that number one seed in the second round in a five-game series. This year, though, has been much different for both teams. The Heat, a little bit inconsistent, underperforming with players injured throughout the season. For the Bucks, I mean, they've had some of those head-scratcher games they've lost that were like, oh, here we go again with the Bucks, looking like a totally different team in the regular season they did in the previous season, going on those stretches of win streaks and losing streaks. Miami also doing the same thing. So, Kev, how do you think this one's going to play out?
So, I believe of all of the opening round series, this is the one that I'm going to struggle with the most. And I think it's because Milwaukee this year, what do we do? Do we even care about anything that Milwaukee does in the regular season? Because for 2 years in a row, they were the best team in the NBA's regular season, and then the postseason didn't go according to plan. This year, they were kind of worse in the regular season, but they added Drew Holiday. We respect that move. Giannis is going to continue to grow in this league, right? But the issue for them is the issue that they had last year and the year before that, is that their head coach, Mike Budenholzer, has a history that goes even beyond his tenure here in Milwaukee of not being a good playoff coach. And on the other side of the floor is Eric Spoelstra, who's won multiple NBA championships and last year captained this Miami team to the NBA Finals. And that's where I continue to have this issue. But the thing is, we're now treating the Miami Heat like basically a LeBron team, which is kind of wild that we're like, yeah, but it's the playoffs now. You trust them. And like, to a degree, I get it because Jimmy's that dude. Like, he really, really is. But
yeah,
what do we really make of this Miami team? I have struggled going back and forth here, Aaron, with who I want to pick to win this series because I don't think either made a overwhelming case during the regular season. And I just, there's so much that we have to find out during this series.
And a lot of times we like to go back to previous games throughout the regular season to kind of get a sense of where these teams match up and stack up against each other. And the Bucks, they've won two of the last three meetings with the Heat this season, 2-1 against the spread, but Jimmy Butler was not on the floor. He was absent in each of those games. So it's really hard to see how Jimmy would play against Giannis.
And that's, again, if we could say to ourselves, you know what, though, Milwaukee figured things out this year against Miami. No. Jimmy didn't play in any of the games. They're the games are basically irrelevant then in terms of how much we want to carry them over. Also, again, considering the history of Milwaukee, what they've done in the regular season is basically irrelevant now that we're here in the playoffs. If you're going to pin me down and make a pick here in this series, I'd rather go out swinging with Miami than Milwaukee because of Spoelstra over Budenholzer. Ultimately, that's where I lean. If I'm making a bet on a series price here, this thing to go seven games is plus 235. I think it can go seven games. I'm very excited to watch this one play out. I don't think I'm going to get to the window on any of the series prices. I think playing this thing game to game is going to be my preference. But, boy, I think this is going to be – it's probably the opening round series that I'm most excited to watch play out.
Yeah, and the Heat plus 240 for the series, Bucks minus 310. I was a little surprised that the Bucks were that far out, just given their history with Miami and after last season. Now, this game one, I just wanted to mention Bucks laying five, total at 226.5. Some betting trends to keep in mind. Miami finished 12-4 straight up, 11-4 and one against the spread that boosted them to that spot. Then you have Milwaukee 8-2 again, record in the final 10 games, coming up short though for bettors 4-6 against the spread. The under 10-4 Miami's last 14 games versus a team with a winning record. Do you have a lean here, Kev?
Yeah, I'll also mention that Miami and that trend that we saw, though, down the end of the regular season, while I know not all of those games against winning teams, still of their final 13, 11 of them cashed over in all three meetings this season, if we're going to factor them in, did get over a total of 226.5, which is that game one number. I'm going to look to play this game most likely through the props market. Chris Middleton, what am I going to do? I like Chris Middleton over points. I know I'm trusting Chris Middleton in the playoffs, but hear me out. He went over 20.5 points in eight of his final nine games, and more importantly, in the five-game series that they played last year against the Heat in the playoffs, he went over 20.5 in four of the five games. So Middleton last year actually was able to get over this number. I think so. I think there's just going to be enough volume at the minimum there for Middleton. He's playing good basketball as we enter the postseason, and I think he can get over that 20.5 point mark.
Interesting. All right, let's get to another matchup in the East with the Celtics versus Brooklyn. Brooklyn with that number two seed, Celtics with the 7 after beating the Washington Wizards. Now, James Harden returning from a five-week absence for two of the last three games of the regular season. Keep that in mind. Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant played together in just 8 of the 59 games that the Nets played after acquiring Harden. So do you think Brooklyn will be connected together defensively? We'll have to figure out who's all in that rotation and be able to shut down Tatum and Walker.
So, to be honest with you, I think Brooklyn is my pick in this series if they said that only two of the three would play in each game. I don't even think they need all three guys to beat what is a depleted Boston team. But for them, they will have all three. How much that helps? How does anybody know? How does anybody know? Like, they're going to play at the minimum in this series about 50% of what they've played up until this point in the season in terms of games played together. I believe they finished with 8 games, maybe 9 together on the final regular season tally. And they're going to play at least four here together, assuming health, against the Celtics. Ultimately, though, we saw Brooklyn sweep this season series. We now know that they're without Jaylen Brown. We expect to have the big three available for every single game here. And I think that Brooklyn will get the job done in four or five games. One of the bets that I'm probably going to be tossing out a lot, especially live, depending on how some things play out, is minus a game and a half, or in this instance, Aaron, minus 2.5 games. For those that are maybe still not used to this, series handicaps, laying games, if you lay 2.5 games, that means that Brooklyn needs to finish this series in four or five. I think they will finish this in four or five, because the thing is, nobody's betting Brooklyn at minus over 10,000 on the series price. And we're not really doing the money lines at minus 360, at least that we have there in game number one. But I think minus 2.5 games is worth a play at minus 134.
Yeah, I honestly think in this spot, the Celtics have no shot. But I did want to mention something I came across yesterday that was interesting. Brooklyn had the league's fourth best record, which we knew, but they ranked 12th, tied with the Celtics, with only 12 wins by 15 points or more, needing clutch time to finish teams off more often than they should. When you have this trio, let's say they're all on the floor at once just because we need them to get that, you know, last three-pointer to win the game, maybe to end the series, it almost becomes a question of who's going to make that shot, who's going to take it. And I think that could really mess up this team.
I think Brooklyn will greatly benefit if at least two of these games are close down the stretch as they try to work out their clutch time offense. They have all the weapons in the world. They just seemingly didn't know what to do down the end. They're like, hey, is it my turn? Kyrie would randomly be like, it's my turn. And like things just wouldn't work out that way. I just want to bring up from a props perspective for this series. Tatum's game one number is 30.5. That is a darn trap. I don't feel as comfortable, but I like his over 3.5 made threes. That's plus money. He cashed that in 8 of his last 12 regular season games. And then Kemba Walker, we talked about this, 24.5 is a point prop. He's gone over that number in 6 of his final 8 regular season games, averaging over 28 points per game in that stretch. I think Kemba can have a nice series. As far as Brooklyn Nets player props, no way. We don't have a sample size with this big three. I ain't playing them until at least two games are done in this series.
Okay, Brooklyn right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, laying 8 with a total at 228. A little betting trend here. Brooklyn over has hit in 3 of the last 5 games. Another series in the East, Hawks versus the Knicks. Now, odds makers really struggling with who's going to win this series. So really, this is the type of matchup that will come down to which star performs better. Julius Randle versus Trae Young. In my eyes, will the Hawks defense slow down the Knicks bench from scoring? Will the Knicks stop the Hawks from 3-point shooting? Kev, this seems to be a tough one because the series price is Hawks minus 115, Knicks minus 105.
Yeah, it's so close. It is so close. Here's the thing, and we're going to have a similar conversation around Portland, Denver. You do not need to play the series price before game one. Why would you? If you think Atlanta is going to win the first game, bet them at, you know, about even money to win the first game. If you think the Knicks are going to win the first game, go 10 cents longer and don't worry about games 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7. Why would you do that to yourself? Play the first game where the series price in Knicks Hawks is going to be something that we'll be able to focus in on is after at least game one, maybe after game two, and we start to introduce some plus money.
Yeah, the Knicks swept this season series during the regular season thanks to Randle. Just wanted to mention that. Over the 3 games, he averaged 37 points, 12 boards, 7 assists. So maybe keep that in mind in terms of player props. So quickly, Kev, before we come up against the break, is there one that stands out to you?
You know, it is Julius Randle. Julius Randle averaged 37 points per game against Atlanta this year and 56.3 points plus rebounds plus assists. This is the matchup. If Randle could have picked any in the East, I think he probably would have wanted. He'll have a big series.
After the break, we're going to talk about the NBA games in the West. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Continuing with our NBA preview, the series starting for the playoffs this weekend. Excited for it. We're going to take it over to the west side of the bracket, starting off with Dallas versus the Clippers. Now, the Mavs went 2-1 straight up and against the spread versus the Clippers so far this year. Clippers have perspective, though, after last year's disappointing bubble. Of course, they were slowed down by Luka Doncic after splitting the first four games, Luka averaging 31 in that series. But also just wanted to note that Kristaps Porzingis was not available in some of those games.
Yeah, the Kristaps situation was interesting because not only did he end up getting injured, at one point was tossed from one of those games, if we remember. And that drastically shifted a game. It is quite fair to suggest that Dallas might have been the ones to eliminate the Clippers if some of those, you know, odd breaks went their way. Luka basically wasn't healthy either towards the end of that series. And I think it's fair to say that's a possibility based on the way the Clippers, you know, tenure in the bubble did end. The interesting thing to keep in mind when you are going through the preview for this series and you are trying to figure out some of the numbers, the first time that they met, Kawhi did not play, and the Mavericks won by 50 points. I think it was 51 to be exact. Now, don't throw it out the window, but also it's going to massively skew what we saw from these teams. The other two were close splits that were played on the back-to-back in Dallas. But again, like if you like, wow, the Mavs over, you know, the point differential between the three meetings is massively in their favor. Yeah, they won one of the games by 50.
And Dallas, you know, has the eighth offensive rating right now, closing on a five-game overrun. But we have to talk about Kawhi Leonard, who's basically, at this point, kind of sleepwalking through the season. But he showed he can turn it on. We know this. 29 points versus the Knicks, 27 against the Sun, 29 versus the Blazers. Right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook, 26.5 for his player points prop on for this game. Do you believe that he would be able to hit this, or do you think he's kind of going to be sleepwalking through the first game as well?
No, I think Kawhi will wake up. Now, I think his points prop is worth a look. I will say this. I think if you're playing the Kawhi points prop in game number one, you are projecting a little bit. He wasn't soaring over these numbers to close the regular season. He was not really hitting this with ease against Dallas in their regular season meetings either. I think he certainly could get there. Kawhi Leonard loves the postseason. But I might wait there. I am a little interested in his assist prop, which is 5.5 with nice plus money to the over at plus 122. He did have 7 assists in both games that he played against the Mavs this year and cashed over 5.5 assists in 7 of his final 11 regular season games, averaging 6.4 assists per game during that span. At a nice plus price of plus 122 on a player prop, I think that is worth a look.
And for game one, the Clippers are laying 5.5 with a total of 218.5 for series betting. Mavs plus 320 to win it. Clippers minus 430. Let's switch over to Portland versus Denver. So Jokic, obviously the engine that makes this team go. He finished 11th in scoring, 8th in assists in the league. Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. now helping with defensive versatility. But for Portland, just wanted to mention that Dame helped the Blazers finish with the best point differential. Now, like the Hawks Knicks series, this is going to be one of those tough matchups in terms of who you think is going to win, especially for odds makers.
And again, we'll reiterate, if you are looking to play this series, it has to be at the minimum after the first game. If I'm telling you Portland's winning this series, I'm telling you they're winning this series. Well, you bet them to win game one at a shorter number than they are to win the series. And if you say, well, I don't know if they're going to win the first game. Well, all right, but then how do you feel that great about them on the minus 115 to win the series, right? There's a give and a take there. Being able to introduce plus money into this series price is what I think you should be looking for. The interesting thing is, you know, the regular season meetings with these teams. Denver won the first meeting in Denver. Jamal Murray did play in that game. The second meeting was in Portland. No Jamal Murray. This iteration of the Nuggets, they won by 1 point in Portland. And then the last game was the last game of the regular season, which is quite honestly meaningless. You have to toss it out. So, yes, it was, you know, ultimately 2-1 for Denver. But I don't know how much you want to lean on some of those regular season meetings. The interesting thing is if you remove that last game, both of the first two meetings did go well under that game one total.
Yeah, and for game one, just wanted to mention Denver laying one, total 228 series betting. We have Portland minus 115, Denver minus 105. Are there any player props that stand out to you right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kev?
There are. Lillard is the one. I'll also just make this point quickly. If you were going to hold me down for a pick, I would pick Denver in seven. Just because I can't trust Portland as one of the worst defenses. In fact, they were the second worst defense in the NBA. They finished 29th in adjusted defensive rating. Ooh. Only Sacramento was worse. The Pelicans, the Thunder, the Magic, the Cavs, all better than the Blazers on that side of the basketball. With that being said, I like the Lillard points prop. It's 28.5. He hit this number over in eight of his final nine games, if we take out the last game of the regular season where he didn't have to play a full complement of minutes. Over those final nine games, averaged 32.9 points per game, 30 ball, 30 ball, 30 ball. And I think Lillard's going to come out uber aggressive against Denver, looking to establish himself in this series. I think Lillard to come out hot in game one is a good look.
Interesting. So do you think, since some of these odds makers are having trouble kind of pricing Portland and Denver, also the Hawks, the Knicks, which one do you think will be more competitive?
Oh, I think they're both going to be very competitive. I think both have a great chance to go seven games. I really do. I think six at the minimum for both of those series. So
betting on that series would be good for which game it goes into. At plus money.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to play, you know, the six or seven games market, I think you certainly could do something like that. And I also just think trying to what happens with the numbers after the first game, right? If all of a sudden do I get bigger, you know, plus money for this to go six because a road team wins, like those are going to be really, really valuable numbers for us to go through.
Yep. All right, let's get into one of the most exciting matchups in the West. We have the Lakers versus the Suns. Now, just want to mention for game one, this line has been very iffy. I texted Kevin about this yesterday. So Lakers yesterday on the show, minus one. And then out of nowhere, it jumped up to Suns minus three. It's now currently sitting at Suns minus 2.5 with a total of 213.5. In terms of series betting, LA minus 168, Suns plus 136. So let's get into this matchup, Kev.
So in my opinion, the Lakers being on the road throughout the NBA playoffs is going to provide us what I think is one of the biggest edges in betting series this postseason. And that is the series spread, Lakers minus a game and a half. And why that is so valuable is, unlike most years with a LeBron team, the game number six, which if you lay a game and a half, that means the Lakers win it in six or less games. Game number six is in Los Angeles. LeBron and the Lakers will be hosting that potential closeout game. And since 2009, LeBron has hosted 14 closeout games. Aaron, he is 14-0 in those games. 14-0 since 2009 with an opportunity to close a series at home. They have plus 118 as the listed price here. It is understandable, but to me, the fact that LA is hosting that sixth game makes it all the more likely. I love it at plus money. I think this is going to be something we look at throughout this postseason run here for the Lakers. Minus a game and a half, plus 118. I think it is a tremendous edge with the Lakers.
And Kev, for the series betting, does it feel like this line is a lot lower than, let's say, the Nets-Celtics series? Obviously, we know the Suns are probably better than that team, but just in terms of looking at the futures market, you have the Nets plus 220, then you have the Lakers plus 460, Clippers 600, everybody else drops down underneath them. But don't you feel like this should have been a more like minus 300 number, just given that how much faith people have had all season on the Lakers?
Yeah, you know, it does look like people came back around on Phoenix. Some of the early projections were that this number on a series price would be minus 250, maybe minus 300. I wonder how much people are factoring in a positive net rest advantage for Phoenix. having not had to play a play-in game in game number one, because I can't figure out why the Lakers went from minus one to plus three. That was the move. Like, it was minus one to plus three.
You would text me, you're like, who is out? Yeah. I'm like, I have no idea. I've not seen
I was expecting a very horrific update to my phone when you had texted me about the move. That update, thankfully, luckily, never came. If people are just betting Phoenix, then so be it. I think part of it, though, is the fact that the Suns are a two seed. The Suns are at home. They've been good at home all season long. I think they have earned some respect on the series price there, especially you consider a team like Boston as a seven who's missing a superstar like Jaylen Brown from their roster.
Are there any player props that stand out to you right now?
Oh, there absolutely are. On the Phoenix side of things, CP3 had double-digit assists in all three games against the Lakers. His number is 9.5. Mikal Bridges, his point total is 13.5. He cashed over tickets 12 of his last 15 regular season games. Again, we're removing the last game in which he played like 7 minutes. That doesn't count. He averaged 16.4 points per game in that run. But here is the number that you absolutely must play. It is Anthony Davis over 25.5 points in this opening game here. AD just played Phoenix. 42 points. A plus 26 in that game. Dominant against the Suns. And there is no answer that they are going to randomly find between now and game number one. They just don't have an answer. Anthony Davis knows how to step up in the postseason. He had 25 against Golden State. He was awful against Golden State. How did he finish with 25? It's because he's just that good of a player. And here's a little nugget that I subscribe to. The Lakers try to establish Anthony Davis in the opening games of series. We saw this in the bubble last year. He averaged 31 points per game in the opening game of each of the series that they played last year. His totals were 28 against Portland, 25 against Houston, 37 versus Denver, and 34 versus Miami. So the only time he didn't go over 25.5 in a game number one, he finished at bang 25. I think Anthony Davis goes out there and likely lands in the 30s against the Phoenix Suns team that has no answer for what he's bringing to the table.
Interesting. And now that we've talked about the East matchups, the West matchups, I wanted to quickly ask you which team you think has the toughest road.
I think as far as the favorites go, the answer has to be Milwaukee. I think it has to be Milwaukee because Miami does have, you know, championship DNA. Yeah. They have a Jimmy Butler who's a top 12 player, a Bam Adebayo with top 20 player potential as well, if not, you know, definitely a top 20 player in this league. And there's a little bit of a mental edge. You know, they were like, hey, Giannis, what do you think is going to happen this year? He goes, I can't tell you it's going to be different. I don't know. We have to play the games. Well, it's going to be really interesting to see if the Bucks can handle Miami this time.
And even if they do handle Miami, then they're going to have to potentially play the Brooklyn Nets in the next round. Stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we're going to give you our hero of the night.
Sports gaming.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. A Major League Baseball yesterday, favorites went 7-3 with the Marlins-Phillies game closing pick'em upsets by the Giants, Pirates, Red Sox, and Blue Jays. Overs went 7-4. It is now time for our hero of the night.
That's right, hero of the night time. And as you listen there to Aaron's recap of which underdogs got the job done on that list, the Boston Red Sox. The Boston Red Sox impressively made the cut as Aaron's dong of the day on consecutive days. A little, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, you know what? At one point, it looked like it was broke. And that was until J.D. Martinez got to the plate, who walks away with Hero of the Night honors to close out the week. J.D. Martinez has been absolutely tremendous, and this game was no exception. He's got a runner on, They're down by one. He's up to the plate. It's the ninth. There's two outs. How about I hit a ball 400 feet over the wall and put us in front 8-7 in the top of the ninth inning? Cash Red Sox backers. Cash dog of the day backers and make it happen. JD Martinez is a legitimate AL MVP candidate. He has been phenomenal all year long and has been the driving force between a Red Sox team that was supposed to be one of the worst in the American League. They've been one of the best in the American League. An easy winner for JD Martinez, especially when you're helping out the program and helping Aaron Dolan get some dog of the night action to Cash.
Yeah, dog of the day, Cash in back-to-back days, testing it out there. Really did have to sweat that one out. But, yeah, Boston Red Sox back-to-back wins with plus money. They're going to take on the Phillies now. I'll be at that game tomorrow night. But overall, yeah, I really sometimes when you're sweating out those dogs of the day, you're just like, oh, I'm going to take it online. I was waiting. I was thinking I was going to wake up to all these messages, like, see, it didn't hit. A lot of people kind of commenting on that there. But, yeah, it was good to hit.
Yeah, JD Martinez, hero of the night. That's how you close out the week. A little Boston Red Sox love. Don't love that, but deserved.
All right. So this here on the Roy Line coming up next with our 7-7 top headlines.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.